better off.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Pod of Their Own. This is episode 184 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Sarovich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin. Hello, Maggie.
Allison.
So this is actually the week. Last time we recorded, we said, oh, it's the off season. Not much can be happening, right? Ha ha ha. And then everything happened. This is actually the week where not much is happening because it's the off season. The off season for the Mets anyway. Baseball season's still happening without them.
It feels like nothing is happening aggressively, if that makes any sense at all. I feel like there is like an active steps being taken on the part of the universe to not do anything with the Mets. It's just aggressively non-Mets.
Which is, I welcome that.
I do too.
I welcome brief periods of calm.
I welcomed it for about 20 minutes and I was like, no, really though, I need some Mets baseball in my life.
Yeah, now I'm bored.
I have a sickness.
Yeah, no, it's awful. It's like the second that, well, like in September, especially during seasons like that when they are bad, it's like oh, can't wait for this season to be over. The Mets suck so much. And then the second it ends, it's like, but where are the Mets?
Yeah. But it's like Metsiness is everywhere. Like,
I wanted a break, but I meant like a long weekend.
Yeah. Like it's like a disease that's spread to all the other New York teams, though.
Are you referring to that football game that happened on Sunday?
Possibly. I don't know what New York football game you're referring to because the tape was burned and should never see the light of day ever again.
I'm not a football knower, as listeners of this podcast are aware, but I am now a Jets fan by pending marriage. So I was subjected to that football game on my birthday, no less.
Oof.
And yeah, it was the worst thing I've ever seen, and I've watched the Mets a lot. So that's saying something.
Like, the state of New York sports is just sad right now.
It is pretty. They're pretty down bad. Linda, I think the Rangers are the best thing New York has going for it right now. I mean, the Knicks season is still very young at the moment as well. So anything can happen there. But yeah.
No, yeah, the Rangers are good. And
there you go.
They were just on a West Coast trip, so I would fall asleep on the couch, wake up at 10 o'clock, refreshed, so I could make it through the whole game.
Good stuff.
I have to, like, plan out my West Coast
disco naps, but make it hockey.
But make it hockey, yes.
Yep. In the most of the happenings in Mets land are, like, potential managerial and front office hires, starting with, you know, we talked about Craig Counsell, obviously, last time we recorded.
There was buzzwords around Counsell, like he's very interested or he's highly motivated.
Interest in the Mets, quote, is serious.
Yes, there we go.
On the part of Counsell.
Buzzwords are happening.
Yeah, the buzzwords are starting to happen. He did also interview with the Guardians for their vacancy. So the Mets aren't the only team interested in him. This news today about the interest being serious was sort of to combat the rumors that the Mets were basically being used for leverage on his part, because there was reporting that you know, he's a big labor guy, and similar to how Max Scherzer talked during the collective bargaining agreement negotiations when he was signed with the Mets, he wants to drive manager salaries up by being paid top dollar. So that led people to say, well, oh, maybe the Mets are just being used for leverage.
He could use the Mets to pay him a whole bunch of money, which seems a lot simpler.
Yeah. But it seems like he's not just using the Mets to get Milwaukee or Cleveland or whoever else to pay him more. It seems like he is actually interested, which I don't know. That might be reporter speak for it's a done deal already and they can't quite announce it yet because they can't announce it until the World Series is over or whatever.
I mean, it does feel annoyingly to me, like all the, like, it does just bring to mind situations where things were getting close. Everybody was like, this seems great. Everyone's happy. This looks good. And then the Mets messed. And I have no, like, empirical reason to believe that that's what's happening here, except for I know in my heart that the Mets will always find a way to mess. So the more they talk about how, like, it's looking good, it's serious, the more I'm like, that's not helping me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always have to account for, that's like the, when making any deal, it's like, okay, we'll pay you this amount of money. And when you're negotiating, you're like, not, how do you account for the Metsing in the process?
Account like, for the Metsing.
Like, that should be in every negotiated contract. Like, if Metsing happens, what do I
imagine
get out
if
of it?
You're right. Imagine if your job was to come up with, like, insurance deals for the Mets. I don't know how. I mean, that's got to be.
They have specialized lawyers for that, I would think.
Like, I choose to interpret that as they have specialized lawyers just for the Mets. Because those insurance agreements are going to be so bizarre that you just need to have, like, lifelong specialists.
But they would, yeah, I was going to say, those guys would, like, have the best job security out there, though.
So true. speaking of lawyers just for the Mets, there was a little bit of news, not really news, but some updates on the investigation into the Mets and Billy Epler. Rob Manfred spoke to reporters about the investigation and didn't really say anything new, but he did say that it should be completed before the end of the calendar year. So they're investigating very, very strongly.
But is he investigating all other teams who also do this? That is also my question.
I mean, he did say that, like, Manfred, here's the quote from the MLB Trade Rumors article about this. While Manfred makes clear the league is not currently aware of a more widespread issue beyond the Mets, LOL, he does note that he directed the league's Department of Investigations to, quote, figure out whether we have a bigger problem regarding misuse of the injured list.
Oh, my Lord.
So let's say they investigate and find something. Are we going to be the ones that ruin it for everybody?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it could be like I don't know. This might be a similar situation to the Astros cheating scandal in the sense that the Mets are being punished for doing something that a lot of teams do, but the Mets took it 25% further than everybody else, right?
Yeah, that sounds like the Mets.
Yeah.
But somehow I don't think that they're going to get, like, Astros brand justice. That doesn't seem...
No.
The Mets don't get the Astros version of enforcement, I don't think.
No. There'll be, like, loss of...
Yeah,
draft picks and fines.
I mean, the Astros did lose draft picks, but, they deserved to.
Yeah,
they deserved more.
It was like a genuinely super bad thing that happened. No, I mean, it's, yeah. No, it does, it, that would be a big Mets thing. Like, that some ridiculous thing that actually harms the organization long term comes out of Billy Epler and Tommy Hunter's stupid neck or whatever it is.
And comes out of, like, you know, if they really are manipulating the injured list, which... all signs point to probably. We've literally made jokes about their roster manipulation. Yes, they were probably doing it. But the thing that kills me is that you're potentially risking, like, at best a fine and, like, you know, some bad PR. And at worst, like, actual penalties in the form of, like, draft picks or other things that might hurt your organization. For, like, what? Because you don't want to put Jimmy Yakabonis on waivers? Like, this is the type of shit they're risking this over. Like,
I would also like to point out, this is with the optionable arms.
Yeah.
Imagine if they hadn't focused on optionable arms. My God.
And yeah, this was all like they talked about how they wanted to focus on optionable arms, and all of this like roster manipulation happened because they didn't want to expose their non-optionable arms they ended up going with to waivers.
Guys, they probably ended up DFAing 3 weeks later anyway.
Yeah. Like, did they not DFA Steven Nogosek eventually? They did, yes. Right?
Yes.
That's a guy they did this with. They did eventually DFA Jimmy Iacobonis, I think, two separate times.
Probably.
The Astros are going to get this with. The Astros lose draft picks for something that won them a World Series.
Yeah.
Like, and the Mets are going to lose draft picks for Jimmy Iacobonis.
Like, at least the Astros got their damn ring out of it. Mets didn't get shit.
Okay, we need to call the insurance guy about Maxing because yeah. This is a question for him or her.
Yeah, seriously. Like, this is, anyway. The other bit of reporting that came out about this, about Billy Epler, was that the Mets, Billy Epler resigned officially. Like, that was what officially happened. But apparently, according to reporting from,
you'll be shocked,
from Joel Sherman of the Post, he would have been fired if he didn't resign.
I can't believe they kept us from us for so long. Never been more betrayed.
So that throws more cold water all over the whole, like, we wanted David Stearns to pick his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, it was because of this investigation.
So it sounds like there's something there. There's definitely something there.
Yeah.
And, like, they might know what penalties are coming already.
Yeah.
That's great.
Also in that piece, it says that David Stearns was unaware that the Mets were under investigation, which I'll choose to believe that.
Whoever's job it was to keep that from him, I hope they get a raise.
Yeah, they did a good job. Yeah.
So, you know, that's the latest on that. We'll find out before the end of the calendar year if the Mets lost a draft pick over Jimmy Iacobonis.
I'm going to say that there's going to be rule changes and everybody will hate the Mets because of it.
There is going to be some sort of change to the IL or something over this, and that's going to be hilarious.
Billy Epler will never work in baseball again. He'll be shunned.
Because I don't know.
Of all the things,
the Angels might just take him back.
That's true.
They are the Angels. Isn't that a fate worse than unemployment, though?
Yeah, in my opinion.
It's a joyless job. So at least unemployment, you've hoped to find something better. At the Angels, there's no hope there.
It's like, if he's found not guilty, he works for the Angels for a year. If he's found guilty, he works for them for 2 years.
Right. So
with no Ohtani, too. So yeah, that is that's a fate.
Bad worse punishment. Than
unemployment, yeah.
It is. The other piece of reporting surrounding the Mets and their front office that happened in the past couple of weeks is that John Morosi of MLB.com reported that the Mets had discussions about hiring Dan Kantrovich. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm sorry, Dan. For a high level position overseeing their amateur scouting and player development departments. So this is like a lot of teams have like a president of amateur scouting. But it seems like this would be like a larger role than just that. Cause he would be overseeing both scouting and player development. Usually those are like two separate roles. Like one person oversees player development and the other person oversees scouting. And the GM is, you know, the boss of both of those guys or gals. But apparently what they're considering Kantrovich for is like a higher level position than that. He's been a hot GM and like president of baseball operations type candidate. I mean, the guy who, I can't remember his name. He was also with the Cubs. Kantrovich is currently with the Cubs. He's their vice president of scouting. Why can't I remember his name? The other guy who was with the Cubs just got hired to be the Red Sox. Like, he's the former reliever. I can't remember his name. It's killing me. Just got hired to be the Red Sox, like, equivalent of president of baseball operations. I think the Red Sox call it something different. President of baseball, chief baseball officer, something. Chaim Bloom's replacement.
There we go.
Craig Breslow.
That's who it was. He was also with the Cubs, I think, before this. And he was he was.
Yeah.
He wasn't like a GM before. Like, so this is, it's interesting because this guy, this other Cubs guy, who the Mets are trying to hire apparently, has been like a GM candidate recently. And I don't know if the Mets will be able to entice him away from the Cubs with just this sort of promotion that's still below a GM. But if they are able to entice him, everyone I've talked to who knows a lot more about scouting and stuff than I do thinks that this would be a very good hire. Because he's apparently one of the like three best scouting directors like in baseball. So
I think it's also a good sign that the Mets are willing to just completely revamp the organization and like the hierarchy within the organization, because it's been so bad for so long, especially scouting, analytics, all that's been just years behind everybody. So at least it seems like there's been a lot of turnover this offseason, and so at least, you know, it looks like they're going after the best and the brightest in the game. Whether they can attract them or not is a different story, but at least they're targeting the good talent.
They're targeting the right people, exactly. Yeah. And this is what having Steve Cohen's resources will do. It's not just about being able to buy Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander and offer them the most money. It's about being able to offer the Dan Kantroviches the most money, you know?
Metzing effect.
Yes.
It's like every additional investigation will cost them $5 million more dollars in those salaries.
Right. So they can, I mean, the Mets simply can offer Craig Counsell the most money to manage. They can offer their head of scouting and player development the most money. And a like higher up role that they invent for the purposes of drawing him away from the Cubs. So this is all good. This is good news. We'll see what happens. We'll see if the good news offsets whatever the penalty from the investigation is.
Grown-ups in charge 2024. That's all I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Grown-ups in charge.
Grown-ups in charge 2024. That's going to be the title of this episode. very not grown up in charge news story, final Mets story of the evening. Tommy Pham,
man.
Can't stop talking about the Mets somehow, even though he's playing in the World Series.
I don't understand. Like, first the Phillies, now Tommy Pham. It's like, you're in the playoffs. What did we do to you?
It's literally the New York Mets. Yeah. It's literally the New York Mets.
Like, I don't get it. And like, this is an extension of the, remember when the Phillies celebrated in the locker room and they were like, you know, fuck the Braves, fuck whoever we play next, and also fuck the Mets. It's like, oh, cool, thanks. Like, still thinking about us? It's like, that's Tommy Pham
right
now.
That's so sweet of you.
Very nice of you. Still thinking about us? Cool.
I don't think about you, but sure.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think about you at all. Yeah, it's I feel bad for you. I don't think about you at all. It's that. It's literally that meme.
I mean, really, it is odd that Tommy Pham keeps coming back to this, especially because I feel like there hasn't been anything added to the discourse.
Right.
Like,
no, it's the same thing.
He took exception to the culture of the Mets locker room, and now he does not play for them. He was there for,
but he does.
4 months?
He said he would come
four
back.
Whole months. I mean,
I don't get it.
There has to be a Taylor Swift song about this. This has to be a Taylor Swift song.
That's
of, like,
the pathology that Mets fans have. Screw you, and I'll see you tomorrow. I'll keep drinking this garbage. I'll keep coming back.
It's the Mean Girls meme. Like, why are you so obsessed with me?
Yeah.
Why is he so obsessed? It's literally the Mets.
Yeah.
I don't get it either.
We're not hurting anybody. We suck. I think, like, just go enjoy the World Series.
I did compare it on Twitter to when I was catcalled when I was 8 months pregnant and carrying a toddler.
Oh, God.
Like, on some level, kind of flattered, but mostly confused.
Yeah.
Like 99% confused.
Yeah. Like the first time he said something about it, I was like, okay, sure, whatever. Sure. Like, I don't. Yeah. Like what Mark Canna said seemed to track. Like Canna was like, yeah, like, I'm not surprised that he feels that way, but it's because, like, he's a freak, basically. And, like, not everyone, like, prepares like him. And that made sense to me. I was like, yeah, sure. Like, Tommy Pham is one of those, like, complete freaks. And there are plenty of those in baseball. And they don't understand that not everybody is, like, you know, needing to show up to the field at, like, 7 a.m. every day and start taking back batting practice or whatever. And but so that made sense. But then he kept saying it. And yeah. It's like, okay, you can calm down now. We get it. The Mets are very unmotivated. And that's why they weren't good. I understand.
But it was so weird because this quote, the second time he brought it up, came a day after Trevor May was on a podcast talking about how much Francisco Alvarez worked. So it was like every other person, like May, Canna, they've all had nothing but good things to say, and there's Tommy Pham just nonstop complaining.
Yeah, but he's on the scrappy Diamondbacks who had to work very, very hard to make the World Series.
And I'm sorry, but I'm still bitter that Paul Sewald held a grudge against us for no reason. You're bad. I'm not cheering for you, Paul Sewald.
I mean, he did blow the game, so
yeah,
that did happen.
So yeah, because that's the Paul Sewald we knew.
Yeah. The World Series is currently happening, for those of you who aren't aware. It is the Rangers versus the Diamondbacks, which there was discourse about how this is like the worst like World Series matchup ever because it's boring. And it's like, did you want to see the Phillies and Astros again, the exact same World Series as last year? Is that what you wanted instead? I'm sorry. I think it's kind of cool that there's like new teams in it.
It gets like that was like the 90s. It was the Yankees every year. It gets boring.
Yeah, I'm sick of the same teams. So
it is a teams. At worst, it is a perfectly cromulent World Series.
Yes.
Like that is the worst thing anyone could ever say about it.
I mean, to be fair, I'm not watching, but
I am. I mean, it's happening right now. I'm not watching it as we record this because I'm not in the room with the TV, but I will be watching it. And I will be happy to be watching it because I will not be stressed out during it, which is the best part of it, because all the enemies have been vanquished. I don't need to stress about who wins. I can be indifferent. Yeah. And that is beautiful to me. I love to just be able to watch the World Series stress free and just like sit there and enjoy my baseball. It's great. It's perfect. More of that. Less of teams I hate in the World Series. Thank you.
Because that just gets your blood pressure up and nobody needs that.
I don't want to be watching the World Series having to root against the Phillies again. Especially in favor of having to root for the Astros. The worst. Last year sucked. I don't want that again. I'm so happy.
It was literally just like again. Insult to injury, the whole thing.
Yep.
Yep.
No.
And I feel
you.
Like this way we can save our stress for when we need it. Someday it will happen again. We will watch the years of our life drop away as we as we like chew our nails through
wither
a
to dust,
postseason.
Hyperventilating, scaring the cats.
So it's fine that we are not losing any of those lives now.
I agree. The World Series, as we record this on Monday night, game three is happening right now. While we're recording, but the series is currently tied at one game apiece.
Go baseball.
In game one, the Diamondbacks bullpen melted down, courtesy of former Mets, and they displayed the Metsiness that we all know and love. Paul Sewald displayed the Paul Sewald that we knew as a New York Met. Miguel Castro displayed the Miguel Castro that we knew as a New York Met.
Miguel Castro was with the Diamondbacks this time around. That's fun.
Yes, and he did not distinguish himself in World Series game one.
Fun was not the right word.
Yeah, so that's what happened in game one, and then the Diamondbacks promptly turned around and absolutely kicked ass in game two, and the offense came to play, and they won like 9-1 or something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
Yeah, and now currently I am checking the score right now if my thing will load. It is 3-0 Rangers as we record this in the bottom of the fourth of game three.
Baseball.
Baseball.
Way to go.
Tommy Pham is hitting. Tommy Pham is currently...
Well, didn't Tommy Pham have like a 4-for-4 day?
He did. And actually, like, you know.
He did a nice thing. Yeah.
He did do a nice thing. We chastised him for the stuff he said about the Mets. Not that I actually take exception to it. It's more just like, why are you still on this beat?
It's very strange. But I'm not mad.
He did do a good thing because he had a chance to go 5-for-5, which would have been like a postseason first or a World Series first. I can't remember. It would have been some sort of like record if he did that. But then he wanted to give his teammate the at bat, so that was nice.
Aww.
I think
it was his teammate's like first World Series.
There were backtracking to before the World Series, since the last time we recorded this. I don't even think that most of the championship series had happened yet. It was like the beginning of the championship series when we last recorded, I think.
Because we knew the Braves were out because
we were celebrating.
We danced on their graves, I remember, extensively, which was fabulous.
Which was fun.
Yeah. But there were, so we talked about the fireworks that had happened, you know, in the Phillies Braves series. Last time we recorded, there were other fireworks that happened in the ALCS.
We had some babies.
Yeah. When Astros reliever Brian Abreu intentionally threw at Adelis Garcia, who, you know, showboated some home runs, rightfully so, because he freaking owned them.
The literal postseason,
and he was the ALCS MVP.
If you can't celebrate in the literal playoffs, big-ass home runs like that, what are we even doing here?
So, yeah, he got thrown at for that. But sorry, he MLB deemed the pitch to be intentional. It was very obviously intentional. The suspension was, air quotes, upheld on appeal. He appealed the suspension and it was upheld, but upheld in the sense that he is serving it next season.
Which makes no sense.
During the regular season instead of serving it during the postseason.
There's literally zero incentive or disincentive, I should say.
Exactly.
From this. All MLB has done is said, if you do something dangerous and reckless, you will have a very small slap on the wrist that won't come into effect for 6 months.
The Astros being great. Slapped on the wrist? Well, never.
And also,
sounds like garbage to me.
What happens if he gets traded? Or I don't even know if he's a free agent or if he, what if he's on another team? Now he's serving a suspension on another team for something that he did 6 months ago?
Yes.
Isn't Jacob Rame's suspension still
still outstanding?
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and guess that that's not going to come up. But yeah, I mean, I think so.
Yes, when dudes are suspended and they're traded to other teams, they're still suspended. Yes.
Yeah. So it's just, the whole thing makes no sense. You admitted really he did it wrong. So then the suspension should be served immediately. Like, you get to pick and choose your suspensions now.
Yeah, like, you can't apply different rules just because it's the postseason.
No.
Then dudes are going to throw it.
Or be upfront about that. Like, if you're going to have a rule, if you're a practice, I should say, if you're going to have a practice of not enforcing suspensions in the World Series, then, like, you need to be honest about that. Yeah. Or you need to maybe think that that is a really unwise precedent to set and not do that.
Yeah. A lot more dudes are going to get thrown at during the postseason now if they realize that all that will happen to them is that they'll be suspended in 2 April games.
I mean, to be fair, Noah Syndergaard probably threw at Escobar in the World Series and nothing happened.
Sure.
But then he
threw a Chase Utley and the umpire's ass was in the jackpot.
That's true.
Which we did learn the full story behind that, by the way. That was another thing that happened that was published since we last recorded. Or might have been right before that we recorded most recently. It was right around that time, right around 2 weeks ago. I think it was Sam Blum in The Athletic wrote a fabulous, like, deep dive into the ass in the jackpot. And interviewed Terry Collins and Tom Hallian. And we'll link the piece in the show notes and tweets and stuff, because everybody should read it, because Tom Hallian talks about like where he picked up that phrase from. It's like, because no one had ever, like, no one knew what that meant.
No,
really.
Yeah.
And apparently it's something that he said as a kid, that he like that he had never broken out like in his capacity as an umpire until that time. And it just happened to get caught on tape.
So that was literally his first time saying it.
Yes, yeah, as an adult. Like, it was something that he, like, it was something that, like, his little league team used to say or something. I forget. It was like, yeah, it was something that he used to say as a kid, or like, no, it was like when he and his, like, friends or siblings or whatever, the neighborhood kids were out playing. His mom used to get really mad when they would come home late, or like she would call them and they wouldn't come home. And they used to say like, oh, our ass is going to be in the jackpot. It's just like something they made up.
Oh.
And so like, it's not like it's a phrase that is like an established idiom or anything like that, or even like regional vernacular. No, it's something that like he and his friends made up when they were kids. And it just ended up like being this like national baseball story.
this is a natural extension of Metzing. It comes in all forms. And the fact that there would be just like your standard issue, you know, if intense, umpire fight, and it turns out to like coin the phrase ass in the jackpot. Like that's a version of Metzing for sure.
Well, there's like the Mets are like the baseball void, and then they like pull everything around them to them. So if you're like in their vicinity, you become part of the Metzing void.
I also think they're kind of like a vaudeville act.
Yeah, a little bit.
Where like really anything is possible. And like, you know, they will, you know, you'll see stuff up there you've never seen before or even heard of. And don't worry, it'll be totally different the next time around.
Yep. Yep.
If you don't like it, just wait a minute.
Yeah, so that's sort of a side note, but everyone should read that piece. It's awesome.
No, did Hallian explain why he threw out Noah Syndergaard? Because I want answers.
I mean, because his ass was in the jackpot.
I mean, probably because he really, it was the right thing to do. Like, I hate to admit it, but like, no, there was intent. It was egregious. It's
but
fine.
He didn't even hit him, though.
He threw at him.
But he tried. Or at least he made it extremely possible for that to happen, for the express intent of fucking with him.
Yeah,
I get it. I wouldn't have done it, but I get it.
Yeah. I never advocate for throwing at guys, asterisk Chase Utley exception.
I'm not shedding any tears for Chase Utley on this front.
I think the best was Sean Estes throwing at Roger Clemens, missing, and then hitting a home run off of him. That was the best revenge.
Yes. After Adolis Garcia got hit, he just like kept hitting home runs anyway. So like
he turned on God mode, and that basically was the end of that.
Message was not received.
It's like in Blazing Saddles when they said, don't shoot at Mongo, you're only going to piss him off.
Yeah, basically.
Like that he's Mongo now.
Yeah, like, what do you... Yeah, you think that's going to help?
Yeah, like, you just pissed him off.
Yeah, like, throwing at him, like, if somebody threw at me for, like, pimping my home run, guess what I'm going to do the next time I hit
him? Home runs.
Pimp it harder?
I'm gonna go I'm gonna
salsa down the base paths.
I would walk. I would Michael Jackson myself. Moonwalk around the bases.
I would go full Joey Bats and then some.
Seriously,
like I feel like the staring at home plate is like the best. Like fuck you to the pitcher because you're still right in front of the pitcher where he can see you.
Yeah,
and you're like, nope, I'm not moving. I'm watching this one go.
Yep.
Yep. You could also, you could pull out a Stillwell Angel from League of Their Own.
Yes.
You're gonna lose.
Yeah.
So the other.
Can you like break dance on home plate?
I mean, I guess the closest that you can get to that is the thing that Jazz Chisholm does, where he like does the little like, what's it called? I forget. There's a name for the move where he like shimmies back and forth.
Or like cartwheel as you're rounding third and then like do cartwheels for like third home. Please somebody try that. I want to see it.
I want to see it. So the other bit of news that came out of the ALCS is that Dusty Baker is retiring as Astros manager after this season. So effective now, he's not coming back next year. So yeah, he is like one of the best managers in the game right now. So it is a pretty big loss to the baseball community to not have him back. But obviously he has earned his retirement.
Yeah, they loves it like 27 years in the majors.
Yeah, something like that.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah, take it easy, Dusty.
Yeah, you've earned it. You've earned retirement.
Yeah, and I mean, like, he's a major figure because there, like, haven't been that many Black managers, and the number of Black players in baseball, like, is falling all the time, sadly, as we've talked about on this show before. So, you know, he's been sort of an icon in the game in that regard. So it is kind of sad.
And like just even as a player too, just how far his career has spanned and who the people he's just interacted with over the course of his career is pretty incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like know that legend is really kind of the best word. He's just a legend.
He is a legend. I know that he made some questionable managerial calls during the playoffs, but overall he is, like, especially for guys of his generation, considered to be a pretty top-tier tactical manager. So
it seems like everybody just loved playing for him, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have two things. One's a bad thing and one's an even worse thing. What do you want to hear?
Oh, God.
I guess just go from bad to worse, because that's the natural order. Go ahead.
Okay, first thing is Max Scherzer just walked off the mound with a trainer. Oh. He's done due to back tightness.
Aww. I know that it's very, like, in vogue to hate Max Scherzer.
See,
right now.
I can't
get myself to hate Max Scherzer. No, I don't know. I like, there was the weirdness, but I don't want the guy to, like, you know, come out of the World Series with an injury.
No, like, people have Mets fans have very like Tom Glavined his legacy, and I just like don't get it.
No, he's nowhere near Tom. And then I don't know if you saw the Passan story today where it said like George Bush wanted to meet him, and he was like, "I had my headphones on, maybe some other time."
yeah, which legend for that.
Yeah, so like I feel
like
all
the labor stuff, and yeah. You know, he was on the side of good and right on the COVID stuff, and like, I don't know. And you know, he posted his career low ERA last year. I mean, this is not, you know, I don't know. It just seems everyone has a very extreme perspective on him, and I don't understand it.
And I still swear he was the one who fought for Alvarez, and I feel like
think it was definitely him. Yeah.
And when he was rehabbing in the minors, he specifically requested Alvarez catch him. Like, he was so good with Alvarez. And I think that really helped Alvarez's development. What, do you have a legend saying, "I want you to catch me," as a kid in the minors? I can only imagine what that would do for his confidence. So
I think he was a net positive for this organization. I realize that is not a popular perspective in some circles, but don't care.
Before we get to the even worse news, I'm staving it off.
Oh, God, I forgot there was worse news.
News, sadly. Yes. Before we get to that, though, I will make a side note and say that if you haven't watched it yet, Steve Gelbs published or, like, posted on his social media the full, like, I don't want to call it a fake interview. It just wasn't an interview that was like broadcast.
Oh, yes, SMY. Yes.
But Francisco Alvarez did a full interview with Steve Gelbs in English because he requested to do so. And it was not one that was like meant for the airwaves, like, at all. It was just like him practicing. And he wanted to do the full interview in English, and it was really important to him. And Gelbs recently posted the full interview on his social media, and it's incredible. And if if you haven't seen it already, you should go watch it. And it just shows like how dedicated Francisco Alvarez is to like every aspect of the game. And that includes learning English, which is.
And he was wearing the Women's Day shirt.
He was.
This team is so lucky to have him. Oh my goodness.
And he said he wanted to be able to better communicate with his teammates and the fans.
Yeah, which is so great.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's very sweet.
So that said, what's the worst news, Linda?
Oh my God.
I really don't know. I don't know if you're prepared for this.
Oh, no, I'm not.
I'm really not. Now that you say that, I'm really not.
It's kind of heartbreaking.
Oh no.
Mookie Betts has weighed in on Trevor Bauer.
He wants Trevor Bauer back or something?
My experience with Bauer is not anything remotely close to what everyone else's experience is. I love him.
Oh, he didn't rape Mookie Betts? Okay.
Congratulations
for not being raped by Trevor Bauer, Mook.
I think he's an awesome guy.
Oh, God, that hurts.
I have no say. Obviously, nothing ever came from it. He's an awesome pitcher. He's a great guy.
First of all, awesome pitcher, also up for debate.
Yes, that is up for debate. Somebody who wants to take the mound every fifth day, but at the end of the day, I don't make the decision. That's a decision that's not as simple as baseball.
That is brutal.
God. Like, every quote is worse than the next one.
Oh, God. It's just like a greatest hits of
what not
garbage men supporting garbage men. That is.
But Mookie Betts was. I thought he was better than that.
I also thought better of Mookie Betts than that. Oh. And it's not just like, you know, it's not just like, oh, I thought Mookie Betts was a good guy. It's like it's rough to have one of the most prominent players in all of baseball say that. That's really tough. That's really tough because, again,
people listen.
Yes, because this is how that opens the door now.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we've said over and over on this show.
And especially since he does have a reputation for being a stand-up player, a good guy. It's not Clevenger saying this stuff. Mookie Betts says it, then it carries something.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we've said over and over on this show, it is about their peers. It doesn't matter. I mean, I like to think what we say on this show matters to an extent, but it doesn't matter what we say about Trevor Bauer. It matters what his teammates say about him. And that's until this type of behavior is unacceptable in clubhouses and makes you a pariah in baseball, it will continue. And this is a huge step backwards in that regard, because I had thought, one guy as prominent and as much star power as Mookie Betts has, he is still only one player. That said, I had thought that Trevor Bauer was really the closest thing that we have gotten so far to a true pariah in baseball, in the sense that no one was willing, really, other than Mike Clevenger, sort of, but he's also a scumbag, so who cares? But no one was really willing to full throat with his full chest step to Trevor Bauer's defense. But now we have an example of that. Well, sadly.
And it also did seem that he wasn't welcome back in the Dodgers clubhouse when he first got suspended. I feel like there were some reports saying that if the Dodgers had brought him back, he wouldn't have been welcome back. I was like, okay, this sounds like progress, that they're finally taking a stand. And now this is 20,000 steps back.
That hurts. That hurts to hear.
Yeah. It hurts.
I don't know
real
what
bad.
Else to say about that. That's really bad. That's not good. I hate that.
And again, to say it with his full chest too, not just.
Yeah, no, that's a super enthusiastic endorsement of him as a person, as a human being.
Yeah.
Oof. Wow. Christ.
Yeah.
That's probably some of the worst quotes I've ever read.
I'll also add, that is an awfully bold risk to take when you were talking about acts of domestic violence that are statistically most likely to end in murder. So, for many, many reasons, hope that doesn't bite Mookie in the future, because there's certainly a chance it could.
Well, according to him, nothing came of it, Maggie. So that's that. So that means that was proved, I guess, to him that Trevor Bauer did not do anything. Because nothing came of it.
Is this really worth like sullying your reputation over? Like this fucking
and
asshole.
He had a spotless reputation before this.
I mean,
everybody loved Mookie Betts.
Everyone will forget about this in a week and it'll stay spotless. Let's be
especially real. Now since the World Series is going on, it's probably gonna be buried, but
like it's only like people like us who will continue to care in like a week.
Yeah. And I don't know how it came up. I don't know, you know, if it was.
Yeah, I wonder, did he say this like unprompted or did someone ask him about it? Not that either way it's bad, but it's.
Yeah.
God. Oh, that makes me so mad.
Yeah.
Like, what?
We probably do need to finish the show, though.
I know. Like, but why are you Mookie Betts? It just baffles me why you would answer like if he was asked that.
0% needed. 0% needed. Just don't do it. Just don't say
it. If he was asked that, don't answer. Just don't. It's just no comment. The whole thing. Even if you really do love Trevor Bauer and you're his best friend, just it's very easy to just say like he could say the part like, oh well, ultimately it's their decision. I don't have control over that. I no comment. It's very easy to just say that.
Yeah.
And move on. You don't have to answer that question.
It's a complicated situation. And, you know, I trust such and such to work it out. Like, that's, you don't have
to. Like, that would be shitty, but at least it wouldn't be a full-throated endorsement.
Endorsement, exactly.
Oh, God. Oh, having one of the most prominent players. Really,
to tie yourself to that person is bold.
Having one of the most prominent, well-liked baseball players, full-throated, endorse, and abuser is rough. That's rough. That's very rough scenes. All right. The only other thing that I had on the show notes.
Something good.
All right.
Yeah, I suppose. It's good. It's a small update on the MLB antitrust exemption front, which is that Evan Drellich, who's been doing basically all the reporting on this, reported that the attorneys general of the following states all favor ending MLB's antitrust exemption: Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Vermont, Virginia, West Virginia, and Washington, D.C. So that spans the political spectrum.
Yeah.
Hochul's still like, nah.
Which we've mentioned before.
New York State politics, baby.
We've mentioned before that this is a weird sort of makes for weird bedfellows politically between people on the right and people on the left. Both support for different reasons, but support ending MLB's antitrust exemption. So again, like this just what the attorneys general of these states doesn't ultimately matter. It doesn't ultimately matter what they think. It matters what the Supreme Court thinks. But again, this is all like building momentum toward the most momentum we've ever had for ending it. So we'll see what happens in the Supreme Court decision. But that was just a brief bit.
Whose rich guys
update.
Will prevail? Will it be those rich guys or these rich guys?
Or these rich guys.
Stay tuned.
Stay
riveting
tuned.
Stuff.
All right. Given that bit of business we just had to talk about, I think it is really good that we will be ending the show like we always do with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Maggie Wiggin, what is your walk-off win for this week?
So as is our annual tradition, my son, who is 9, loves to pick just the most niche possible Halloween costumes. And this year he wanted to be a video game villain from a Roblox game called Piggy, and the character's name is Tio, which I think I did a pretty darn good job of, except for the incorporeal form. That was really hard to pull off with a glue gun. But I got hit. He had giant top hat with glowing orange eyes that had LED lights that I really put in there. And I gave him like double long arms with pointy fingers. And he was super happy with it. And he had his school festival over the weekend. And he was like, I'm going to win the costume contest. I'm going to win the costume contest. And I'm like, oh, baby. Well, hopefully that would be great. But like, woo. He won the costume contest.
That's
he
awesome.
Won it. My boy, his first year at this school with that hard ass costume that I made with my own two hands. My baby won his costume contest, and it was just the absolute best feeling. He was so happy. He got a $10 Amazon gift card, and immediately told his baby sister he would spend half of it on her.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
He just felt so good about it. And I felt so good about it because I thought I'd done a good job, but it's hard to be an elderly person like myself trying to make Roblox Halloween costumes because that is not my people. But I did the cool mom thing, and now I can just like coast on that for a while.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Congrats to Thomas. That's awesome. Yes. I love Halloween. It's my favorite holiday. So I always appreciate a good niche costume. Yeah. Love it. My friends and I always do like epic group costumes. And one year we all dressed up as different skits from the Amanda Show. So I was the along with two of my friends, I was the Block Blister, which is like the riff on Blockbuster with the like rental video store where they like had like weird like weird makeshift knockoff movies of the original movies, and they would always go, "It's better, much better." That one. And so yeah, very niche Halloween costumes. Yes, I'm all about that.
Yep.
Linda Cervich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Well, my walk-off win is every year countywide they do a Battle of the Books tournament where every team reads 5 books and then you answer trivia questions and then the libraries battle each other and it becomes like a really big event. And my library had never had a team before because we just didn't have the staff. And so this year was our first year participating. This was my first year as a coach. And then a lot of things went wrong. One of our meetings was canceled because of those horrible rains and we had flooding. So we had canceled. Then I had COVID.
Canceled due to act of God.
Yes. So act of God was the first cancellation for a meeting. Second cancellation was me getting COVID. So then they couldn't practice. And then the third one was one of our kids getting COVID. So we had a lot of challenges against us. And so the day of, and then I was off. I swear, I don't know. I don't know if it was COVID brain or what, but I was off the day before. It was a Friday and the Battle of the Books was supposed to take place on Saturday. And I had a dream that I overslept and missed the entire event. So then I woke up, looked at my clock, and it said 10 o'clock, and the event, I was supposed to be there at 8:45. I ran out of the door crying.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh my God, I let my team down. Oh my God. And I realized it was Friday. It was not Saturday. My alarm didn't go off because I didn't set it because it was Friday.
I lost a year of my life just listening to that story.
Yeah, that's so stressful. Oh my God, oh my I can't. God.
And then the whole rest of the day, I felt like I let my team down when I didn't.
But it was great, right? Because there has to be, we need the win part.
So
maybe not a literal win, but a like.
So the day of.
Okay, right.
I was there on time. My whole the team that didn't have COVID was there on time. And they got smoked in the first round, which was a little sad, but. Then they got so much better as the day went on. Like the first, we had two matches and then we had lunch and then they lost their first two matches. And then after lunch, they won their next two matches. And then the third round was really close, but then they ended up losing. But then they said, okay, stay in your room because then somebody's going to come because out of 16 teams, the top 8 made it to the quarterfinals. So they're like, stay here and somebody will tell you if you made the quarterfinals or not. Right. Like, I don't know how that went, because it was just based on your points and how many points you got during the day. And then so finally volunteer comes in and she goes, oh, what two teams are these? We told her, and she goes, oh, both of you made the quarterfinals. So we were so excited. So when they told us to go to room four, that was the second seed and the seventh seed. So we figured we were the seventh seed, and who should walk in but the team that smoked us in the first round.
Oh.
And so I could see them just immediately get deflated. And I, you know, I'm just trying to say, like, you know, the first round scores don't matter. Anybody can beat anybody now. And they were neck and neck for so long before they finally lost the other team both away. And I was like, no, like, because they knew it. They were just slow on the buzzer. But I was so proud of them, because after all their challenges, you know, getting up to that point, because they were so dedicated and they, like, loved the books and they knew everything. And it was just the stupid buzzers that they just weren't quick on the buzzers. So, but I was so proud.
Quarterfinals is amazing. Their first try.
Our first try, my first try being a coach. I was so proud of them. I'm like, you should be proud. And, like, they were disappointed. I'm like, no, you and like you took one of the top teams, like almost, like you almost beat one of the top teams. Like, that was incredible. And so I'm so happy because they were so sweet and they were such good kids. And like I said, they knew it. And they were, you know, it's so nice to see kids get so excited about reading. And it was very nice. So I found it a happy ending even. And the parents were so nice. One of my kids' parents took me out for lunch afterwards.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And then and they said, oh, Misha, tell her what you told us. And she said, I want to be a librarian when I grow up.
Oh my God. I think I would cry.
Did you slightly discourage doing it though? Were you like, watch out for the debt? I
don't like, no, are no. you sure? No, but like,
no, that's so sweet. That is like
cute. Yeah,
that's so, and that's something that's gonna stay with her for so long.
But yeah, like my heart was so full hearing that. And so she kept saying, can I like help you do stuff? And I was like, of course. So it ended up being a really, really awesome day. Initial scare. So yeah, I'm proud of my team, and all of them promised me they were going to come back next year. So I feel like we're going to really nail it next year. And, you know, and they said, can we stay as a book group and then like just have a book group and then start. And then when the, we get the books for next year, then we can start practicing.
I was like,
they were so sweet. So I was like, oh, and all the parents were awesome. And it really made my life so much easier just having such a good group to work with. So that's my walk-off win, even though sometimes losses are still wins.
Yes, absolutely. So my walk-off win for this week is that it was my birthday yesterday. So
happy birthday, Allison.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So over the weekend, we celebrated, and it was nice. On Friday, Michael and I went to a nice restaurant, one that I've been meaning to try for a long time that, you know, is walking distance from our apartment and has a Michelin star. And it's hard to get a reservation there. We finally got one. And so it was really nice. The meal was delicious. And then on Saturday, we went to Baltimore and met up with some of my friends, and we hit up a lot of my old haunts from when I lived in Baltimore. So that was like a really lovely day. We went to one of my favorite spots for lunch. We walked around Patterson Park, where I used to live. And then we hit up my favorite ice cream place. We went to a couple of the breweries in Baltimore that I really love. And so it was just like a perfect day in Baltimore. I miss Baltimore a lot. And so it was nice to spend the day there, because really the only times I've gone back have been to like go to Camden Yards, which is awesome. And I love going to Orioles games, but obviously there's a whole other city there that I miss a lot. That's a really tantalizingly short car ride away that I don't get to visit as often as I would like. So that was really, really nice. And then yesterday I watched that terrible football game, but Michael and I were together and the Jets won. So even if
did he get you something nice?
Yes. He's so for his birthday gift to me has yet to actually happen, but It is, he's booking a photo shoot for our dog from a photographer that, that takes photos of, for the, one of the local rescues, those photos that he takes for the local rescue of the adoptable dogs are free of charge, but obviously they also are for hire. And it's like really goofy photos of dogs licking ice cream cones. So I'm very excited for Blue's photo shoot and how that will turn out. So we'll
see.
Amazing.
We will need the pictures ASAP.
No, I will obviously share them.
This is the best kind of birthday present because it's one that we all get to enjoy.
Exactly. Yes. It's really a gift for the world. Let's be real. I feel like I'm setting up for something that might not be posted for a while. Unclear when those photos will happen, but they will happen at some point. So that's Michael's birthday gift to me. So yeah, it's really his birthday gift to me for the world.
And so, we love him for that.
Yes. Cute, very cute photos of Blue incoming. We shall see. So yeah, that's my walk-off win for this week. So that does it for the show this week. You can go to homerunapplesauce.com to check out all of our fantastic pods. You can support our work by going to patreon.com/homerunapplesauce. You can follow Home Run Applesauce on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, @HRApplesauce. You can email this show, aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. You can also follow this show on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, and TikTok @apodoftheirown. You can follow each of us on Twitter and Blue Sky. I am @PetitePhD. Where are you, Linda?
@LindaSarovich.
And you, Maggie?
@Maggie162.
Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Just search Home Run Applesauce and you should have our entire suite of pods right there for you. Please rate and review the show if you have a moment. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there's no crying in public.